Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Well, happy Monday. We hope you are having a marvelous Monday. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson, and Molly Vogt is on vacation this week. So I know you're going to miss her. I'm going to miss her, but we're going to have a great show this week. So we are the AmeriChicks. Check us out. That is our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all the information there. Facebook, Twitter, we're the AmeriChicks. Our phone number is 303-632-4160. We've got a great show planned today. We'll be talking with Jennifer Schubert Aiken in just a moment, who is the co-founder of the Steamboat Institute. And then in studio, we have Victor Mitchell. Victor, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be back, Kim. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I know you're a little busy because you're running for governor, so we're going to ask you some questions. And if our listeners want to ask you any questions, call in. Our number is 303-632-4160. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the eclipse in the last segment. So, Victor, just quickly, what were you doing today during the eclipse?
I was in Castle Rock near where I live, and we had our glasses out. My whole company was outside. We were taking it in. I have to say I was a little bit disappointed. I thought it'd be a little darker, but it was pretty spectacular. I mean, I the last time this happened, I think I was either 12 or 13 years old and in school, and we were out on the playground. But it was a similar experience. It was pretty remarkable. I wish I would have mustered up the courage to get out to Wyoming and have seen the whole darkness.
Yeah, they're now sitting on I-25, I think, trying to get home, from what I heard. I'd seen a Facebook post this morning that a friend of mine was coming into work at 4:30 in the morning, and he was behind a truck that had, I think he said, four different tanks of gas. And he's like, I know where they're going. They're going to Wyoming. So
it's amazing. I mean, I've seen this stuff on the internet and on broadcast television today. And boy, some of that was back in Oregon where they had it. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. And people just had such a good time.
I think they did. It was actually really funny, Victor. I was supposed to do a conference call, and my neighbors were like, who would schedule a conference call during the eclipse? And I'm like, okay. So they changed that. And it was so fun, though. We were out on my neighbor's driveway, and there were little kids. There were dogs. There were different, black, white, old, young, Democrat, Republicans, and we were all there together enjoying it. And so, it certainly was a nonpartisan eclipse, if you will.
No question. And we have two dogs, two golden retrievers. One's about 10 and one's about one. So the one-year-old is still a puppy. She was so fascinated with the eclipse today. She's running around the yard. She just was confused. And the 10-year-old was just outside sitting there, lying there, and she just didn't know what was
going on.
Couldn't figure it out. It was pretty funny.
So, well, it was a pretty neat day, certainly very historical. It'll be a while before it happens again. And we're going to talk, to somebody that was up in Jackson, Wyoming during our fourth segment. But right now we have Jennifer Schubert Aiken on the line with us. She is one of the co-founders of the Steamboat Institute. And Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, how are you doing? You're a little busy up there, aren't you, right now?
We are busy, and it's all good. I hope everyone will come up to beautiful Steamboat Springs this weekend for the Steamboat Institute Freedom Conference. We have a fantastic lineup.
Well, and is this your ninth year or your eighth or ninth year, isn't it?
It is our ninth year, which is hard to believe, yes. We have, I tell you, there's no program like it in America. We have Steve Forbes. You ride the gondola to the summit of the Steamboat Ski Area to meet Steve Forbes. We have an exclusive exhibit of President Bush's paintings of world leaders. We have a film festival featuring Sean Hannity's first film as executive producer. It's called Let There Be Light. We have Rebecca Gregory, the Boston Marathon bombing survivor, who is such an inspirational person. And, of course, it wouldn't be the Steamboat Institute Freedom Conference without Coyote Gold Margaritas. So Steamboatinstitute.org has all the info.
Well, very good. And, Jennifer, we've got a couple of minutes. Just share with our listeners, what was the impetus for this? How did you guys come up with the idea for the Steamboat Institute?
The Steamboat Institute was born out of genuine concern for the future of the country. It was a group of us who all had full-time careers. I had a full-time accounting business. My husband is a lawyer. We had a jeweler, others who had full-time jobs, and we were very concerned about the growing size and scope of government. So in 2008, we formed the Steamboat Institute, and in 2009 began holding our very first events and honestly had no idea what we had tapped into, and it has just grown and grown since then.
And Jennifer, I know that it has grown. However, at the Steamboat Institute, it's still pretty up close and personal with all of the guests. For example, I think you mentioned this event at the top of the gondola with Steve Forbes. I mean, people really get an opportunity to get to talk with him, don't they?
Yes, they do. And it's in such a beautiful setting. You know, I think that's one of the keys to our success is the organization has grown in terms of what we do around the country now. But the Freedom Conference is a maximum capacity of 350 people. So you have an excellent opportunity to visit with Steve Forbes, with James Taranto and Mary Kissel from the Wall Street Journal, with Peter Brooks from the Heritage Foundation and all the other great speakers that we have listed at steamboatinstitute.org. But that's the thing. It's a retreat-like setting in this beautiful mountain setting, and people relax. It yields some very fascinating and substantive policy discussions.
And what would you say is probably going to be the main subject this year, if you could pick one?
Well, it's we cover many things over the course of the weekend, from, you know, global security threats to personal responsibility to free markets and economics. But really this year, I think the theme overall is inspiring and elevating the human spirit with the negativity and the hateful rhetoric and the, you know, it's the divisiveness. We are really trying to set an example. You know, you have a saying right versus wrong instead of right versus left. I absolutely believe that. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, Jennifer, again, what is the website?
It's steamboatinstitute.org. We still have a few tickets available. It's this Friday and Saturday up in Steamboat Springs.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jennifer, and have a great time. We wish you all kinds of great luck. When we come back, we'll be with Victor Mitchell. He's running for governor.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly is on vacation, so I'm manning the microphone here. And As you probably know, we are the AmeriChicks. We look at issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. We educate, inspire, and encourage people to engage. And so we're really lucky to, in studio today, have Victor Mitchell. Victor Mitchell is a businessman who has decided to throw his hat in the ring to run for governor. And so, Victor, welcome.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back, Kim. I mean, you guys are terrific. I love your show. So friendly. It's a great program.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And the first thing that people always, ask is, what on earth are you thinking running for governor?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 21. I've built six successful companies. Two of my three kids were born here in Colorado. And, frankly, we just have too many political people in government that just can't get anything done. And I'm not one to whine or complain. And I think we've all felt frustrated or disillusioned at different times over the last several years. Mm-hmm. I decided to put myself out there and be part of the solution. I mean, we've lost a tremendous amount of confidence and trust in our institutions, and hopefully I'll be able to move our state in the right direction.
Well, we really appreciate having you in studio. We're talking with Victor Mitchell, who is running for governor here in the state of Colorado. If you have any questions for Victor, our phone number is 303-632-4160. He said he's going to answer all of them, right, Victor?
I never duck a question, never duck a videographer. I think, this is the way this works. We work for you, not the other way around. And if I don't know something, I'll tell you I don't know something. I mean, I think it's very important to be substantive. That's why we've actually put very big ideas forward, new different ideas forward to fix our healthcare system, to get regulations reduced, to triple the amount of STEM graduates in our state. So we're running a very substantive campaign of kind of big and fresh ideas.
Well, and Molly and I like to play this game, Victor. It's, are you smarter than big government? And actually, I think people are. They're busy. I think that we have acquiesced to government instead of really doing the things that we need to do. So what would you say is your first, you're smarter than big government? What would you say?
We've got to get regulations dramatically rolled back. I mean, we've had 120,000 pages of new rules and regulations affecting Colorado small business since 2009 when I was in the legislature. We had 5,000 businesses in 2014 alone close their doors. It's just not good enough. We got to start promoting risk-taking, entrepreneurship, small business formation. And we also need to start thinking about rewarding success and acknowledging success. There's nothing wrong with success. We've somehow gotten into an environment where we almost like demonize success. We think the government should play a role in everything. And it's just too bad. I mean, just to give you just some examples of the types of regulations that are hurting people. I've been around the state. I've been to 48 counties now. We've done over 200 events. And what I've learned in rural Colorado is very different than here in the metro area. They don't have anywhere near the economic opportunities that we have here in the metro area. They have very few economic opportunities, most of their citizens don't have a lot of earning power. But they want to break into trades like becoming technical trades, whether electricians or plumbers or carpenters. And what they tell me all the time is that the regulations are, it's not that they don't want to go into these trades, is that it's a 4 or 5 year apprenticeship period. I mean, it has a chilling effect where it keeps prices artificially high. These kids coming out of high school, they can't afford to work for 4 or 5 years basically for no money. It's not possible. So it's really, we've got to start looking at our whole apprenticeship periods. We've got to look at, what's truly critical for regulations. And we really should only be regulating critical industries that really are a matter of public safety.
Victor, that's so refreshing that you would mention that. Because I come from people that work with their hands, that created livelihoods with their hands. And in fact, I didn't graduate from college, but I graduated from high school with the tools necessary to be a success. I can typically put a sentence together most days. And
I think you do a little more than that, Kim. You're being too modest here.
But I can add, I can subtract, I can think critically. I think that's one of the things that is so important, that our kids understand how to think critically. And, Molly and I have been doing this World War II project for quite some time now. And I look at the tools that these young men had, young men and women. It was young men and women graduating from high school that went out and saved the world from tyranny because they had the tools necessary to do that. So I love the fact that you're going to try to shorten up that apprentice time. I think that would be really important.
And it's much broader than that. I'd like to see us teaching vocational trades in the high schools across the state. There's really no reason why we shouldn't be doing that. I'd like to start teaching coding and starting in the second grade. Fewer sex education courses, more coding, and more vocational trades. I also think we should revisit the whole thing about summer programming. I mean, if you're an at-risk kid now in Colorado, about 50% of our kids who are at risk after they graduate high school cannot do college-level work. I mean, I think that's a crisis. It's a crisis. Yeah. I mean, and the teachers' union have all the power. We need to, you know, take away their power. They have a voice at the table, but they shouldn't control, you know, what type of food we're going to eat, where you're going to go out to dinner, what type of dessert they're going to have. They effectively control everything, and that's really too bad because it's really hurting the kids that are most at risk.
You know, Victor Mitchell, I wanted to mention this made me think of a story. Somebody I talked with last week told me this story about socialism in kindergarten. I'm like, what? And what she said was that a friend of hers, a little granddaughter, started kindergarten last week. And they'd gotten the little list of all the supplies that you were supposed to get, and they'd gone to the store, and she'd gotten some Frozen scissors, you know, from the movie Frozen. And she gets to school. Now, when I was in school, Victor, in the olden days, you had a little box and you put your glue and your pencils and you know, I remember I would sit in front of that box and I'd take things in and out before the first day of school. It was so exciting. Put my scissors in there. She gets to school and it ends up it's a communal basket. Everybody throws their scissors in. And so it comes time to go do a project with the scissors and somebody beat her to it. And got her scissors. She was absolutely just devastated about that. And I thought, we need to be teaching, you know, property rights and personal responsibility in school.
You're so right. You know, there's only two guaranteed outcomes from socialism. One is corruption and the other is poverty. I mean, that's really the
Neither
only thing.
Neither one of them sounds very good to me.
And it's been tried over and over through the centuries, and it fails every time. Socialism really, you know, until you eventually run out of other people's money. And
Are you channeling Maggie Thatcher?
I love Maggie Thatcher. Winston Churchill and Maggie Thatcher are my heroes. Yeah. So, it's too bad that in today's day and age, but it really it speaks volumes to the economic uncertainty we have and the combination of technology and globalization and how it's affecting people. And people, you know, I go around the state to some of these rural counties and they're saying our kids, they go off to college and they don't want to come back. And it has long-term effects in so many different areas. I've put forward a 64-county economic development strategy where basically it'll be the first time in Colorado history where you work with small counties, maybe a group of them together, and you say, what type of industry, private sector industry, can you support in your community? And then you work with the local business leaders and the mayors and the commissioners, and then you go out and from the governor's office with the clout of the governor's office, and you recruit these types of private employers, and you encourage them, create incentives for them to relocate to Colorado in some of these rurally, economically deprived communities. And I think that needs to be done. I mean, there's really no reason why people all over our state shouldn't thrive or have the opportunity to pursue their dreams.
You know, and Victor, one of the things that I really struggle with is government giving out incentives. I really would like it to happen from a free market standpoint. And the thing about these small towns in rural Colorado is they have infrastructure. They have buildings, they have roads, they have schools. And in fact, talking about affordable housing, I know someone out on the Eastern Plains that their son came back to farm and was able to buy a two-bedroom house, you know, living room, kitchen, laundry room, garage, and a yard for $60,000. So in essence, if instead of us taking and government putting incentives into this metro area, I think if we could let the free market, use the free market a bit more, I think that we could somehow start to incentivize in a free market way our small towns.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, corporate welfare is just bad you've got the government picking winners and losers. Right. And I don't think it's anything more egregious than what's happening in our energy sector. I mean, they're completely they're subsidizing industries
right.
at the expense of all the rest of us. I mean, if the Democrats win next year, what they basically are saying is they're going to create a command and control energy sector and they're going to eviscerate our whole oil and gas industry. I mean, it should be all of the above. We're all for clean air and clean water and reducing the carbon footprint, but we should be investing in our universities. where the universities can come up with technologies that they work in the market without big corporate welfare and corporate subsidies.
I agree. Let's go ahead and bite that off a bit, because we were talking about capitalism and being successful before we went on the air. And somehow being successful has been demonized in America now. And cronyism, I disagree with, because that means government is picking winners and losers. But for example, you have built six businesses. And what happens if people are creating a product that makes other people's lives better, and that these other people are willing to pay you because what you've created makes their life better, and if you get wealthy doing that, that's pretty great.
Absolutely. And my situation was, it was a matter of survival. I started working at the age of 13. At the age of 11, I was taking care of a disabled, legally blind and deaf mother. I'm a product of the public schools. I'm a product of the public university. I started my first business when I was still in college at 21, and I've never worked for anybody other than myself. And we should be rewarding that. Should be an example for other people that they've grown up on the school of hard knocks, and they can rise up and do well. But for some reason, we're in this era now, and we used to see it on the Democrats, strictly on the Democrats, but now we're seeing it on some Republicans that are demonizing successful people, and it's really unfortunate.
You know, we've been talking with someone recently regarding vocational technical training. And so I was looking at different quotes, because I like to do quotes at the end of the show. And I found one, Booker T. Washington. You probably remember him. He was born into slavery, but went on to be a speaker, an author, and even an advisor to U.S. presidents. And he said regarding the education system, instead of creating more job seekers, we should create more job makers. And I think that would be a great way for us to go in education. I'm a little concerned right now, Victor, that if the electricity goes off, a lot of our kids aren't going to know what to do exactly.
Well, Kim, the modern economy is so different than just, it's such an important point. And let me just give you an example. The way our economy works today is most of our young people especially are working 9 to 3 or 9 to 5, and they're doing it mostly for health benefits. But what they're doing is they're also moonlighting. They're moonlighting as a graphic artist. They're moonlighting as an Uber driver or even a registered nurse. And we want these kids to eventually pursue their dreams and whatever career paths they want to go, and eventually create businesses in those career paths they want to go. But we've created so many regulations and so many roadblocks for them to block them from pursuing whatever they want to do. That's something we have to really lay. That's my plan, was to bring in outsiders similar to myself, but people that have no aspiration to run for government, and do a top-to-bottom review of our whole regulatory scheme and see which ones can be entirely rolled back.
You know, we're talking with Victor Mitchell. He is running for governor here in Colorado in 2018. This is just a fascinating conversation, and we haven't really gotten into all of these different position statements that you've said, but we're going to go to break. And when we come back, Victor Mitchell, we're going to have some more questions. Be sure, if you want to give us a call, it's 303-632-4160. We're the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, August 11th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include The Emoji Movie, Dunkirk, and Annabelle. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to 4 toppings to choose from. For more information on movie showings and times, visit 88driveIn.net, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly is on vacation this week, so you've got me, and Victor Mitchell is in studio with us. He is running for governor. Bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's the most important work I've ever done, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Well, there's a lot of marvelous people in Colorado.
Oh, God, I couldn't imagine ever living anywhere other than Colorado, and we came here 21 years ago, and two of our three kids were born here, and it's really become our forever home.
Yeah, it is a great place. Politically, it's pretty interesting out there, though, Victor Mitchell. Oh, boy.
Anything worth doing in life takes a lot of work. It takes a little bit of luck. But I always believe that the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, well, you sound, who is that, Thomas Jefferson? Did he say that?
I think
Abraham Lincoln said, all the smart guys said that, I think. So, but Victor, this is really interesting. I had gotten something in the mail, and you happened to bring this in. This is a kind of a policy statement that you put together, and it's pretty interesting. There's a whole lot of things. Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that you say that you're going to do.
Yes.
And pretty interesting. So what would you say, first of all, if people wanted to get more information about you, how could they do that?
They can go to vicforgov.com. That's V-I-C, the number 4, G-O-V.com, or Facebook.com/vicforgov. And we post 4 to 6 times a day. It's really funny because my opponents in this race are saying, oh, come on, you can't do all those things, or you can't do these things. But, I've been told this my whole life, Kim. I mean, my whole life. When I started my telecom company, literally I had the largest telephone companies in the country saying, your business model will never work. And we proved it became one of the most successful private telecom companies in the country. I've told that with our existing business today, a financing company that it's a disruptive financing company that we replace banks. And the company has grown almost 100% annually for the last 7 years. We're positioned to make an IPO next year. So I've heard this many times before, but frankly, we have to. I mean, we desperately need to deal with healthcare in our state. We're the healthiest state in the country. We have the lowest rates of obesity in our state. And yet, 40% of the people that have health insurance today in Colorado can't afford to meet their deductibles or copayments. So they effectively have no insurance at all. There are solutions to these vexing problems, healthcare clinics with run by nurse practitioners that don't require the need for insurance. We just don't think about our problems dynamically, imaginatively. We've become very risk averse. I hope to bring some sense of normalcy and bring back our animal spirits again.
And Victor, we're talking with Victor Mitchell, and we are the AmeriChicks Mind. Kim, AmeriChicks.com is our website. You had mentioned something that I've thought a lot about. You said that you have seen this clinic in West Virginia, that the costs are significantly lower. And as Molly and I are doing this whole mental exercise of, are you smarter than big government? I've also come to the conclusion that things are better when everybody has skin in the game. Things are better when there's the dignity of trading value for value. So if I give something to somebody for free, in a way, I'm saying that you don't have anything of value to give back to me. And I don't believe that. I think every individual has value. And so
absolutely.
I find this.
And you'll value it much more. I mean, if you have to pay something, even if it's a de minimis amount, you're much more invested, without question. And there's been psychological studies that have validated that through the years. But you were asking about the clinic in Virginia. This tiny little clinic is kind of the model for every state we should be emulating. This tiny little clinic that my wife and I have been financially supporting for a very long time, we went out there last year. We were actually at our son's Army-Navy game. Our son goes to West Point, and Army won last year for the first time in 15 years.
So you were a happy camper,
and we were
huh?
very happy. We were frozen to the bone. Mm-hmm. It was in Baltimore, Maryland. So my wife said, why don't we take a drive to Virginia right next door? Well, it happened to be like 400 miles away. So we got in the car, and we drove 400 miles. And Kim, it was nothing less than a miracle, this tiny little clinic in the Appalachians. This tiny little clinic in the Appalachians doesn't take any insurance at all, doesn't accept Medicare, doesn't accept Medicaid, no private insurance. They charge $10 for a visit. They give you a $4 prescription voucher. They're doing mammograms and colonoscopies, PET scans. They're doing mental health screening. If they have something serious that requires a specialist, they use telemedicine. It's an unbelievable clinic. This past year, they serviced 25,000 people on $1.5 million budget.
Wow.
It's remarkable. And most of they use volunteer staff for their administrative side of the business. Most of their cost goes directly to their nurse practitioners. They have 11 of them. They pay each nurse practitioner more than $100,000 a year. They can write scripts. It's really kind of, they have medically equipped RVs that actually go into the communities and provide services. And most of their people actually have insurance. They just can't meet the deductibles. It's a very common theme. I run around all the state. I'm hearing all the time. My plan is to provide block grants for nurse practitioner or physician assistant entrepreneurs that want to start their own clinics. We can do this also on mental health. We have very serious issues in our state with mental health. There's no reason why we couldn't use a clinic model. To put it in some perspective, if a person needs primary care, basic wellness wellness care, they need to get a basic procedure like an MRI done. If they go into a hospital, it's going to be about 20 times the price of a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And often they're dealing with a doctor that might spend 3 or 5 minutes with them. Most of the nurse practitioners' clinics are spending 40 minutes with a patient. So there are the, and I share this with your listeners, because these are the types of innovations that are actually out there and are working today. But we've gotten so tribalistic and partisan and bickering back and forth about, you know, the Unaffordable Care Act or Trump Care. But that's about insurance. We're not providing care. It doesn't matter if you're poor, which you get today, Medicaid. What happens if you're lower income, but you're not necessarily poor? There's very few options for those. What about millennial people that have opted not to buy insurance? There's very few options for them. We also need to do a lot more with transparency and pricing. I mean, there's no reason why
that
you
would
go
change
to,
things a lot, Victor
oh, no
Mitchell.
Question. That would empower consumers and patients. Why can't you go to any clinic or any service provider in our state and they give you an a la carte of exactly what every item is going to cost you? We have major price disparities on common procedures like MRIs or PET scans or X-rays or what have you.
You know, I had a friend that I think that she had sprained her ankle. I can't remember exactly what the injury was, but she'd gone to the doctor and asked how much just the cash price was. And they told her that by law, they couldn't tell her what the cash price was.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, I mean, that is one of the reasons that the costs are so high. So I'd love to see you.
Well, I
got to
even share a real life experience. So I was in Rocky Ford a couple weeks ago giving a speech. And the most wonderful couple came, really nice family. They had their whole family, had three kids. And the wife comes over and she says, you know, we have insurance, but my husband needs a procedure done. We're very worried about him. We don't have the $2,500 for the procedure. He needed some type of an MRI. I said, that sounds really expensive. So we exchanged phone numbers. I called Dry Creek Imaging myself. That's where I had gotten a procedure done several years back. They did the exact same procedure for $600.
Wow.
So I got a hold of them. They could afford $600. They couldn't afford $2,500.
Right. That
was
makes
a 3-hour drive from where they were.
Yeah.
But it just shows you the disparity for basically the identical procedure all around our state.
Transparency would change that significantly. Now, Victor Mitchell, we're going to be running out of time. Great conversation today. I know you're running for governor. One of the things, I'm looking at this paper that you'd put out. Tabor has been really important to me. How high on the list is that for you to protect the taxpayer bill of rights?
100%. I mean, I've always been supportive of Tabor going back since it was passed. I actually ran an initiative back in 2011, Proposition 103, where they were trying to do a timeout on Tabor and create what would have been the largest tax increase in state history. And I worked against that and defeated that 2-1. I think we should adhere to Tabor. And if we truly want a timeout in taxes or user fees, that should go directly to the vote of the people. And Kim, make no mistake about it, we have a $28.6 billion budget. When I was in the legislature less than a decade ago, it was about $18 billion. We've had about a 40% increase in the size of growth of our government budget. We've had about a 25, 23% increase in population.
Something doesn't match up. Yeah.
We have no money shortages. I mean, I've actually put forward a plan to change one of the committees. We have this obscure legislative audit committee that probably no one's ever heard of. It has equal members of Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate. We changed that committee from financial to performance auditing. So basically it takes all the partisanship out of it. And you look at all these different state bureaucracies, then it'll come back and say, you know, you really don't need 3,300 employees at CDOT. Maybe you need 2,300. Maybe you need 1,900. Implement these types of information technologies. We can probably save close to $1 billion a year that could go directly into infrastructure and pay for our teachers, lower costs of higher ed. We just don't even think about our problems in these kinds of ways.
Well, I think some creativity would be just great as we get into governing here. Victor Mitchell, we have about 2 minutes. So how can people get more information?
Well, they can call or email us anytime. I mean, the best way is you can send me an email at vic@vicforgov.com. You can go to our website at vicforgov.com. You can go on Facebook /vicforgov.com. We'd love to see you at our events. We actually post every week. We do anywhere from 5 to 15 events every week. So they're right on our website. And most of our events are free.
Okay.
So we'd love to see them out on the campaign trail.
Well, Victor Mitchell, thank you so much for being in studio. If you want to jump in on this eclipse talk that we have here in just a moment, that's great. And Ian, it's always great to see you as well. So thanks for being in studio. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Krebel.
Like millions of other Americans, I recently replaced some windows with more energy-efficient windows, thinking I was saving on energy bills and being a responsible citizen. But I found out that even something simple as replacing a window requires a permit from the county and the fees that go with it. Building permits were originally for public safety, and none of us want buildings to collapse. But if we look through the lens of liberty, we realize that too often such permits are not really about safety, but about revenue for the county. Some advocates may want to protect me from an installation that may not save as much energy as I wanted. But isn't that really my responsibility? Americans believe in limited government because we believe in self-government. We need the government to protect us from foreign invaders, not from drafty windows.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly is on vacation this week. I'm Kim Munson. We've had Victor Mitchell in studio. It's great having you here, Victor.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. What a great show.
Well, thank you. Great conversations. And check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. We have all of our information there. All of our shows are archived there, so there's all kinds of great information. But we have on the line Meredith from Jackson, Wyoming. Meredith, how are you doing?
Hi, Mom.
Oh. Oops. Meredith is also my daughter. Hi,
you
Meredith.
You blew it, Meredith. You were supposed to play it on that you were just this random caller.
Hey, that didn't come across in the text message.
Okay. Well, you live up in Jackson, and it's been quite a day up in Jackson, Wyoming with the eclipse, huh?
Yeah, it was really kind of a unique thing. It was a fun thing that kind of happened to our little town. So
were there a lot of people there?
Not as much as expected, to be honest. I think the town had started preparing for it months ago, and I think that there was a lot of hype around it. And although we did have an influx of, you know, a lot more visitors, it's something that we're used to in the summertime. So it wasn't anything crazy, but today you could definitely see the traffic.
Meredith, did you guys get a total blackout in Jackson?
It actually was lighter than expected. It wasn't a total blackout. We did see the total solar eclipse, so you could look at the sun safely without needing glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd set
up. It was just more of like a very quiet, unique sunset.
Huh.
Is what the whole valley felt like.
So you've been up early, though, because you had some different events that you had to work, and then you went to the top of one of the mountains to watch it.
Yeah, we went to the top of Snow King, which Jackson, the town of Jackson, is actually at the base of Snow King. So we were at the top there, and then the Jackson Hole Mountain Resort had some unique things going on. They had a guy slacklining across Corbett's Couloir, which is a really steep cliff right off the top of the tram, and he was like, basically it's like a tightrope walking across Corbett's Couloir. So he did that during the eclipse. So there's some pretty cool shots of him doing that.
Oh my gosh. Now I heard somebody had told me that if you looked at the eclipse through a colander, like that you do make salads out of, that it would be okay. So I knew some guys that were going to play golf today and have colanders on their heads so that they could look at the eclipse. I mean, people are doing crazy things.
Yeah, I think that someone was playing a joke on them.
Did you get to see any wildlife? How did they react?
You know, we didn't really, it was so quick that it didn't really, I didn't see any of that happen. I think that there's a lot of conversation about what the wildlife might do. I mean, we have dogs, and the dogs didn't do anything different. They just kept on playing. But the whole thing was actually much quicker than I expected. I thought that around 10:30, you could look through your eclipse glasses and start to see the moon kind of taking chunks out of the sun. And I thought that that would then affect the light in the valley, but it really wasn't up until like 2 minutes before the total solar eclipse that you saw the shift in the light change. But it was really unique because everyone kind of started to feel weird and everyone's looking at each other laughing. And then when the total solar eclipse happened, we were on the top of Snow King. So we had a really nice view of the whole valley, which was really special because we were able to see a huge shadow come from the southwest. So we saw the shadow come, and it kind of lit up the Tetons, which was unbelievable. And then we turned around, and we were able to look up and see the total solar eclipse. And you could look at the sun completely safe. It was really special.
Huh. Well, that's really neat. Apparently, there are a lot of people that went up to Wyoming. They say that I-25 is going to be really busy. They were talking about shortages of food, shortages of gas. And somebody told me that up in Jackson, you know, some of the rooms that were that they were going for maybe two or three times, even more for what they normally would rent hotel rooms for. Did you see any of that?
Yes, we did. And we heard a lot about the buildup. And I don't know if it was just a matter of it not quite turning out to be what everyone thought it would be, or if it was just great planning. It was probably a combination of both. But we were expecting basically bumper to bumper traffic all weekend long. We didn't have that. So that was, you know, lucky. But the town really pulled together. It's cool to live in. We worked at the top of Snow King, so we were coming down. I was sitting with one of the guys that works with me, and I was like, look at our little town, what we're able to produce. It was really cool.
Well, great. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for sharing that. And you'd said to me you thought it was just really a special thing. And down here, everybody kind of went, huh, that was interesting. But you said it was really, really unique up there in Wyoming.
Well, there were honestly two special things that I kind of took away from the whole day. Was one, the fact that we have the technology and the math and the science to be able to predict something like that. Because then how specifically the moon covered the sun. You know, I mean, that there's really something going on there that is able to happen as perfectly as everyone predicts. And then the other thing that I thought was really cool was just how powerful the sun is, you know, because it was light out until right up when the sun was covering when the moon was covering the sun, it was totally light out. So it just gives you some perspective as to truly like how powerful the sun is, that it can keep this whole world lit, even with something, you know, covering it. So.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. So, well, I really appreciate you calling in, Meredith, because I thought it would be great to hear from somebody that was right there kind of in the path. So thank you so much and get some rest. I know you've been up for a long time.
Okay, bye, Mom. Have a good day.
Bye. Oh, gosh. I didn't think she was going to call me Mom, Victor. So anyway.
Isn't it funny having your kid? You can tell there's so much love between you and your daughter. I mean, it's very cute. My kids, they're at that age still that they're always correcting me on everything. So yeah, they are the
old. We've been through that, yeah.
It's amazing. My wife and I just dote over our kids as well. Yeah. So it's terrific. But it's funny how to get a mom and daughter together. I actually even could hear her mannerisms were complimentary to your mannerisms.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I've been pretty blessed with three really great kids. So that's pretty neat. So, hey, Victor Mitchell, let's change just a little bit here. It's been great to have you in studio and to talk about these big issues that are facing Colorado. We are at a critical time, I think, Victor Mitchell. And some of you may know, I have some women's groups that we get together, and we've had some of the gubernatorial candidates reach out and want to meet meet the ladies or meet the girls. I don't know what's the right way to say that exactly.
But I like any, girls
better. Okay. And so we meet at my house. And if any of you women are interested, Victor's going to present on Wednesday night. And so just email me at kim@americhicks.com and I can get you the information. But it's just going to be conversational. And we really have come together. We initially called it Wine and Tapas to just get together and talk about important issues that are on our heart. And a lot of really great stuff has come out of that, Victor. In fact, some of the girls have started to write letters to the editor on issues that matter to them. They're starting to show up and testify at different, regarding different issues that are on their heart. So it really is a dynamic group of women.
I'm so looking forward to it. And usually what I'll do is I'll speak for maybe 10 minutes at most, and then I try to answer everything, every type of question that comes up. And we get really great questions. So at these events, I'm so excited to meet the members of your group And it should be a lot of fun. I mean, they'll tell me what's on their mind, and hopefully I'll be able to persuade them that I'm the right person to lead our state forward.
Well, and like I said, you know, we really appreciate you coming in, Victor. And Molly and I, we don't endorse during these primaries because we feel it's so important that we not be in a circular firing squad, you know.
Well, I want John Elway's endorsement.
I think
endorsement sounds very inside politics, and I'm an outsider, yeah. So I'm not I consider myself a leader, mm-hmm. not a politician. And
but we want to ask these hard questions. You know, where do you stand? I know that it's really important on people's hearts right now. And,
yes.
And for example, we talked about Tabor. Tabor is really important to me because I think you mentioned we've gone from 18 billion
to roughly 28.6 billion is last year of our state budget.
That is a lot of money. And
yeah, $10 billion.
And if it hadn't been for Tabor, I think it'd be a lot worse.
After a billion here, a billion there, it becomes real money.
Yeah, who's counting? So, so Victor Mitchell, it's really been great having you in studio. Thank you so much.
Well, you guys have a great night. And as always, I'm always available if you ever want to call me in for a question. And we'll keep the conversation going.
Great. And that website again?
VicForGov.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. So we're going to wrap it up here. It's really been just a great show. This eclipse today has been just historical, and it was fun to have Meredith call in and talk with her a little bit. Tomorrow, we're going to be having two good friends in studio with us, Sue Kinfield, who is with See It Thrive, and Susan Kochevar, who is a small business person. She's been a great sponsor of the AmeriChicks. We greatly appreciate her. Both of them are going to be in studio as guest chicks, and we're going to talk about the conservative heart. I think sometimes people say, do conservatives have a heart? Well, actually...
Guest chicks versus AmeriChicks? That sounds like a new slogan.
It does. So we're going to have some guest chicks in tomorrow. And I think that conservatives do have a heart, don't they, Victor Mitchell?
Without question. You know, what did Winston Churchill say? If you're 20 and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart, and if you're 40 and not a conservative, you don't have a brain.
I think that's true. You and I both like Winston Churchill, and we also like Maggie Thatcher, and I'll give her a quote here in just a moment. But the conservative heart is somebody that instead of just, I think, giving something to somebody just because, we realize the dignity in trading value for value, the dignity of work, the dignity of being able to do a job well, the dignity of critical thinking, and... both Sue Kinfield and Susan Kochevar are really wonderful thinkers. I think it's going to be a great conversation. I have to tell you, when I drove up today and realized Molly wasn't going to be here, we've hardly taken any vacation over the last 4 years. And so I'm like, I wonder how this week is going to go. But we're off to a great start, Victor Mitchell.
Oh, it's great. And Molly's such a crack up. So, I mean, it'll be you guys play off each other so well in the show. So hopefully she's on a romantic getaway. Uh-huh. Well, you can't share that with your listeners too much, though.
I hope so. And it's so funny. I was down at an event this weekend, and they said, oh, are you the feisty one on the radio? And I said, no, that's Molly. I'm Kim. So with that, thank you so much, Victor Mitchell. And we will have Susan Kochevar and Sue Kinfield in tomorrow talking about the conservative heart. And our quote for today is Maggie Thatcher. She says, if you set out to be liked, you would be prepared to compromise on anything at any time. And you would achieve nothing. Maggie Thatcher, this is the AmeriChicks signing off. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 to 6, KDMT, 1690 AM. See you tomorrow.